People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Under California's cap-and-trade program, large companies that emit a certain amount of greenhouse gas are assigned a cap or limit on their emissions. Those that exceed their cap either have to ratchet down their emissions over time by improving their facilities, or they can buy what are essentially allowances to pollute through a quarterly state auction. Companies that produce less than their allocated greenhouse gas emissions can trade or essentially sell their allowances to other companies. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing, we'll hear about how this program is helping to fund affordable homes. By 2015, these funds are predicted to provide $200 to $300 million a year for housing and sustainable community growth. Our guest is Susan Riggs, Deputy Secretary for Housing, California Business, Consumer Services, and Housing Agency. Formerly the Executive Director of the San Diego Housing Federation, Riggs also served on the Civic San Diego Board, overseeing redevelopment downtown and around the city. As an attorney, she specialized in affordable housing and redevelopment law. She worked at the San Diego Housing Commission from 2001 to 2004 and was Vice President of Government Affairs at the San Diego Association of Realtors. Susan, welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm pleased to be here.
You bet. So this agency, the Business Consumer Services and Housing Agency, is a relatively new one. Can you tell us exactly what it does and how it came about?
Absolutely. Yeah. Upon taking office, now sitting Governor Brown proposed a reorganization of the agency structure, really to streamline and create efficiencies among the various agencies that run the state operations. And through that reorganization, the Business Consumer Services and Housing Agency was formed. Previously, both housing and transportation were in a single agency called the Business Transportation and Housing Agency. And those actually were separated out into two different agencies through that reorganization. And so now housing sits in what's now called BCSH, and there's a separate transportation agency. Obviously, this is a really important change from the perspective of the work that folks do in the affordable housing community and making the connections between transportation and housing. So as part of that reorganization, the legislature also took action to ensure that there's a formal structure for us to coordinate with the transportation agency and to have ongoing conversations. And so we're also working very, very closely with transportation through that reorganization.
So do you have any specific goals for your new role?
Yeah, in the short term, we're continuing to focus on the second stage of the governor's reorganization plan, which really seeks to maximize efficiencies in the state's housing functions, you know, primarily CalHFA and the California Department of Housing and Community Development. You know, paramount when I took this position was really in, making sure that we had some permanent, strong leadership at the helm of both of those organizations, and we've now achieved that. We're really excited to have a very strong team in place that is going to provide consistent and stable and strong leadership for those two organizations. And that really it gives us a strong foundation to move to really reorganize and maximize efficiencies in the departments and make sure that every dollar, which is, every dollar is scarce right now, is going as far as it can and really getting as many dollars out on the street as possible and using, less for administration and overhead.
Sure. Tell us more about this cap and trade program that's now going to be directed to create new affordable housing in the state.
Yeah, so during the last budget cycle, there was a budget trailer bill, SB 862, that created a little bit over $830 million in total out of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund that will be invested in various activities to reduce greenhouse gases in the state. And there's a number of those that are really applicable to the affordable housing community, but I think first and foremost on people's minds right now is one being run through an organization, a state organization called the Strategic Growth Council, and that's the Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities Program. It was allocated in this budget cycle about $130 million, of which 50% will be dedicated directly to the creation and preservation of affordable housing for lower-income households. So we're really excited to have that dedicated source of funding. And then on an ongoing basis, there's actually will be in the future a continuing appropriation for that program. 20% of the overall funds being invested in the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund will be dedicated to the program, the Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities Program, and of that, 50%, again, will be dedicated specifically to affordable housing. So it's a really exciting time. Despite lots of uncertainty in the market these days, this is a really exciting program that is going to create new mechanisms for investing in the type of development that we want to see, creating holistic communities and connecting, you know, housing to transportation systems in a way that really result in reductions of both greenhouse gases and vehicle miles traveled.
Do you anticipate that there will be new regulations as well as the state moves forward in deploying these funds?
Yeah, so we're working right now. Let me start with what the Strategic Growth Council is, because I think for many folks in the affordable housing community, this is a new entity that we really haven't dealt with in the past. This is a body that's comprised of six different agency secretaries, and so these are the part of the governor's cabinet, sit as part of the Strategic Growth Council, including the Secretary of Business, Consumer Services and Housing, Secretary Ana Caballero. In addition to that, there are three public members, one appointed by the governor, one by the Speaker of the Assembly, and one by the Rules Committee in the Senate. And so so this is a body that really comprises a lot of different interests, you know, from transportation to housing to public health to rural lands and natural resources. So, you know, a variety of different perspectives sit as part of this group. And so they were allocated directly the implementation administration of this program. And as a member of the Strategic Growth Council, my agency, along with the other deputy secretaries and the various agencies, are working right now to release guidelines. There's draft guidelines out for review right now, and we're accepting comments until October 31st. And then we'll be bringing back final guidelines to the Strategic Growth Council board in early to mid-December for final approval, we hope. And hopefully we'll have a NOFA out on the street in early January.
That's great. Now, since users of cap and trade funding have to prove that they're reducing greenhouse gases, has the state figured out how housing projects might have to document their mitigating impacts?
Yeah, so this is a question that is obviously prevalent in everyone's mind. The California Air Resources Board has been charged with the overall administration of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. And through that administration, one of the things that they're doing is setting up the metrics for tracking and measuring the impacts of the investments being made through the fund. Right now, they've issued some draft guidance that really doesn't get into the depth of what types of metrics will be applied to each program. But we're working, all of the staff at through the Strategic Growth Council are working very, very closely right now with the Air Resources Board to determine ways to appropriately apply the measurements to, kind of this comprehensive development that includes affordable housing and transportation systems. And we hope to have at least some of that guidance out in time to integrate it into our December final guidelines that will come out for the program. As you probably know, this program, the entire, affordable housing and sustainable communities program, along with all of the investments that have been defined through this last budget cycle, have just been approved in July. And so, we're on a very expedited schedule. And I think, given that, it's kind of a game of dominoes where we're trying to put in place a lot of different pieces, including these metrics. And so everybody's working really, really hard and working very closely together to make sure that, all the puzzle pieces are getting put in place.
Now, existing buildings are responsible for significant percentages of carbon emissions as well. So is the state planning to use any of the cap and trade funds, Susan, to retrofit the state financed housing portfolio?
Yeah, absolutely. So under the Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities Program, acquisition and rehab of existing housing stock is an eligible use. In addition to that, through the Department of Community Services and Development, there's a $75 million investment fund for energy efficiency upgrades and weatherization. And, you know, through that program, you know, there's a multiple kind of retrofits that can be done on existing housing, recognizing that, you know, existing housing is a large emitter of greenhouse gases. And so, you know, multifamily housing is an eligible use under that program. And so we hope that, you know, folks will tap that program as well. And, you know, our hope is really that, you know, all of the programs or many of the programs under the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund will be able to leverage one another. I mean, there are really compatible uses. And so, you know, putting together this energy efficiency upgrade and the Affordable Housing Sustainable Communities program is, you know, something that should be feasible for developers.
Now, in addition to cap and trade funds, voters recently approved the reallocation of bond funds from Prop 1C to be used for rental housing for veterans. Originally, those funds targeted home ownership for veterans. Can you talk about the plan, what the plans are for these funds now that they've been reallocated?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Veterans Housing and Homeless Prevention Program, otherwise known as Prop 41 on the June ballot that was just approved, dedicates $600 million for the acquisition, construction, rehab, preservation of multifamily housing specifically dedicated to veterans. You know, of that, we're really, you know, trending towards extremely low-income veterans, folks that are really trying to integrate back into the community and may need some supportive services. And so 50% of the funds are really dedicated to housing those veterans that are at 50% of the area median income or below. And in addition, they are really emphasizing the supportive housing component. We've had some initial workshops and have been receiving stakeholder comments, and are we're anticipating that the initial NOFA will go out probably the end of this year, the very beginning of next year, with an application deadline sometime in the spring, and then hopefully awards by June of 2015 is what we're anticipating right now.
So all of this, the cap and trade funds, the reallocation of unused veterans funding, and also the recent $100 million budget allocation are really the first rays of light in what otherwise has been a pretty bleak funding landscape for affordable housing. Can you talk, Susan, about what the state's long-term vision is to fund affordable housing in California?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's been a lot of indications from the governor's office of, you know, his desire to really delegate a lot of the responsibility for providing affordable housing to locals and to regional governments. And so you may have heard this term subsidiarity that the governor has used on many occasions. And so, you know, I think that at least in the short term, I mean, our hope is that we can begin to remove some of the barriers that local governments have and create affordable housing and begin to bring back some tools that will assist them in meeting their own affordable housing needs. And so in the short term, that's really the priority for the governor's office is, you know, giving the tools and removing barriers so that local governments and regional governments have the opportunity to do that. And I think a strong indication of that is, you know, the types of investment funds that we have through the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, you know, that we're really beginning to deploy at a very grassroots level a lot of the revenues that are available through that fund.
Now, you've been in this job for what, several months now?
Yeah, about 7 months, yeah.
And in your prior position, you advocated from the local regional perspective for San Diego and the surrounding area. What policies do you think the administration might consider that would help at the local regional level?
Well, so a lot of the work that we're doing right now is really with the regional governments, and, you know, this really has to do with the fact that, you know, there are significant responsibilities that come with the implementation of what's called SB 375, which is a regional responsibility to, you know, plan for local growth, to integrate housing planning and transportation planning, and demonstrate to the Air Resources Board how each region is going to contribute contribute to the state's overall goal of reducing greenhouse gases. So what we're doing right now, especially through the integration of our housing and transportation agency structure, we are really working closely with some regional governments, the Metropolitan Planning Organizations, to figure out ways that we can really contribute to the ability of, you know, the regional governments and then, you know, really to the local governments to plan for the type of growth we need and to zone land appropriately to meet the greenhouse gas reduction goals. So that's one of the major places where we think that we can contribute, you know, either through providing, you know, critical data that the state controls by, you know, assisting with, you know, modeling data in a way that, you know, can really give them the tools that they need to plan, you know, to meet the greenhouse gas reduction goals. And so that's a primary objective that we have right now.
Susan, if people want to learn more about the work of your agency or the programs we've talked about, can we refer them to your website?
Absolutely. It is bcsh.ca.gov.
Great. Susan Riggs, thank you so much for your insights today.
Thank you.
Susan, once again, is Deputy Secretary for Housing, California Business, Consumer Services, and Housing Agency. To hear prior episodes of the Affordable Housing Podcast, please subscribe for free on iTunes or visit us at edenhousing.org.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.